A Divided Nation. Section 4. The Nation Divides.
If you were there. You work for the weekly newspaper in Harper's Ferry, Virginia. You strongly oppose slavery, but you think the question ought to be resolved by laws, not bloodshed. Now your paper has sent you to interview the famous abolitionist John Brown in prison. His raids in Bleeding Kansas killed several people. Now he is in jail for attacking a federal arsenal and taking weapons. What questions would you ask John Brown?
Building background. Unpopular compromises and court decisions deepen the divisions between pro-slavery and anti-slavery advocates. The Lincoln-Douglas debates attracted more attention to the issue. As the disagreements grew, violence increased, though many Americans hoped to avoid it. But it was too late to keep the nation unified. Raid on Harper's Ferry. In 1858, John Brown tried to start an uprising. He wanted to attack the federal arsenal in Virginia and seize weapons there. He planned to arm local slaves. Brown expected to kill or take hostage white Southerners who stood in his way. He urged abolitionists to give him money so that he could support a small army. But after nearly 2 years, Brown's army had only about 20 men. On the night of October 16, 1859, John Brown's raid began when he and his men took over the arsenal in Harper's Ferry, Virginia, in hopes of starting a slave rebellion. He sent several of his men into the countryside to get slaves to join him. However, enslaved African Americans did not come to Harper's Ferry, fearing punishment if they took part. Instead, local white Southerners attacked Brown. 8 of his men and 3 local men were killed. Brown and some followers retreated to a firehouse. Federal troops arrived in Harper's Ferry the following night. The next morning, Colonel Robert E. Lee ordered a squad of Marines to storm the firehouse. In a matter of seconds, the Marines killed 2 more of Brown's men and captured the rest, including Brown. Brown was quickly convicted of treason, murder, and conspiracy. Some of his men received death sentences. John A. Copeland, a fugitive slave, defended his actions. "If I am dying for freedom, I could not die for a better cause." Convinced that he also would be sentenced to death, Brown delivered a memorable speech. "Now, if it is deemed or thought necessary that I should forfeit or give up my life for the furtherance of the ends of justice and mingle or mix my blood with the blood of millions in this slave country whose rights are disregarded by wicked, cruel, and unjust enactments, I say, let it be done." John Brown quoted in John Brown, 1800-1859, by Oswald Garrison Villard. As expected, the judge ordered Brown to be hanged. The sentence was carried out 1 month later on December 2, 1859. Many Northerners mourned John Brown's death, but some abolitionists criticized his extreme actions. Abraham Lincoln said Brown agreed with us in thinking slavery wrong. However, Lincoln continued, that cannot excuse violence, bloodshed, and treason. Most Southern whites, both slaveholders and non-slaveholders, felt threatened by the actions of John Brown. They worried that a John Brown II might attack. One South Carolina newspaper voiced these fears: "We are convinced the safety of the South lies only outside the present Union." Another newspaper stated that the sooner we get out of the Union, the better. Election of 1860. In this climate of distrust, Americans prepared for another presidential election in 1860. The Northern and Southern Democrats could not agree on a candidate. Northern Democrats chose Senator Stephen Douglas. Southern Democrats backed the current Vice President John C. Breckinridge of Kentucky, who supported slavery in the territories. Meanwhile, a new political party emerged. The Constitutional Union Party recognized no political principles other than the Constitution of the country, the union of the states, and the enforcement of the laws. Members of this new party met in Baltimore, Maryland, and selected John Bell of Tennessee as their candidate. Bell was a slaveholder, but he had opposed the Kansas-Nebraska Act in 1854. Senator William Seward of New York was the Republicans' leading candidate at the start of their convention. But it turned out that Lincoln appealed to more party members. A moderate who was against the spread of slavery, Lincoln promised not to abolish slavery where it already existed. Douglas, Breckinridge, and Bell each knew he might not win the election. They hoped to win enough electoral votes to prevent Lincoln from winning in the Electoral College. But with a unified Republican Party behind him, Lincoln won. Although he received the highest number of votes, he won only about 40% of the overall popular vote. Lincoln won 180 of 183 electoral votes in free states. Douglas had the second highest number of popular votes, but he won only one state. He earned just 12 electoral votes. Breckinridge and Bell split electoral votes in other slave states. The election results angered Southerners. Lincoln did not campaign in their region and did not carry any Southern states, but he became the next president. The election signaled that the South was losing its national political power. The South secedes. Lincoln insisted that he would not change slavery in the South. However, he said that slavery could not expand and thus would eventually die out completely. That idea angered many Southerners. Southerners' reactions. People in the South believed their economy and way of life would be destroyed without slave labor. They reacted immediately. Within a week of Lincoln's election, South Carolina's legislature called for a special convention. The delegates considered secession. Southern secessionists believed that they had a right to leave the Union. They pointed out that each of the original states had voluntarily joined the Union by holding a special convention that had ratified the Constitution. Surely, they reasoned, states could leave the Union by the same process. Critics of secession thought this argument was ridiculous. President Buchanan said the Union was not a mere voluntary association of states to be dissolved at pleasure by any one of the contracting parties. President-elect Abraham Lincoln agreed, saying no state upon its own mere motion can lawfully get out of the Union. Lincoln added, "They can only do so against the law and by revolution." While the South Carolina representatives were meeting in Charleston to discuss secession, Congress examined a plan to save the Union. Senator John J. Crittenden of Kentucky proposed a series of constitutional amendments that he believed would satisfy the South by protecting slavery. Crittenden hoped the country could avoid secession and a civil war. Lincoln disagreed with Crittenden's plan. He believed there could be no compromise about the extension of slavery. Lincoln wrote, "The tug has to come, and better now than later." A Senate committee voted on Crittenden's plan, and every Republican rejected it, as Lincoln had requested. The Confederate States of America. South Carolina elected to dissolve the Union now subsisting or existing between South Carolina and other states on December 20, 1860. Mississippi, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, and Texas also seceded to form the Confederate States of America, also called the Confederacy. Its new constitution guaranteed citizens the right to own slaves. Delegates from seceded states elected Jefferson Davis of Mississippi as president of the Confederacy. Davis had hoped to be the commanding general of Mississippi's troops. He responded to the news of his election with reluctance. When the southern states seceded, the question of who owned federal property in the South arose. For instance, the forts in the harbor of Charleston, South Carolina, were federal property. However, Confederate President Davis and the Confederacy were ready to prevent the federal army from controlling the property. Lincoln takes office. President Lincoln was inaugurated on March 4, 1861. In writing his inaugural address, Lincoln looked to many of the nation's founding documents. Referring to the idea that governments receive their just powers from the consent of the governed, a line from the Declaration of Independence, Lincoln stated, "This country, with its institutions, belongs to the people who inhabit it. Whenever they grow weary of the existing government, they can exercise their constitutional right of amending it or their revolutionary right to dismember or take apart or overthrow it. I cannot be ignorant of the fact that many worthy and patriotic citizens are desirous or wanting of having the national constitution amended." While he believed that U.S. citizens had the power to change their government through majority consent, he opposed the idea that Southern states could leave the Union because they were unhappy with the government's position on slavery. He announced in his inaugural address that he would keep all government property in the seceding states. However, he also tried to convince Southerners that his government would not provoke a war. He hoped that, given time, Southern states would return to the Union. Summary and preview. The secession of the Southern states hinted at the violence to come. In the next chapter, you will read about the Civil War. But first, review the main ideas of this section. Then take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the section assessment questions. Before moving on, your teacher may want you to apply your knowledge by completing the Social Studies Skills and Standards Review exercises. The Standards Assessment exercise will give you additional practice using what you've learned.